Study, and I called it a percentage early parameter study. I keep updating what I do. I use Phase 3. I use my variant program with Tom Grohammer's variants, which come a week late. So I'm always basically a week late updating every race at every distance. I used to be with certain parameters, and now it's every race at every distance. And I keep updating my weekly averages, and you can see the shift in the bias, I guess is a good word for the track. A specific case is this year, 6 furlongs, Hollywood Park began being very, very average. So much so that at one point, the year-to-date average is only 52.44, which is just a solid average, average plus maybe. But within 1 week, the week of 24 to 28 June, it jumped up to 53.05, which is definitely early. Last week, 6 to 12 July, it averaged 52.94. Now, it dropped a little, but still, it's certainly a solid average. I might point out that I also did the deviations for both week and year-to-date. The year-to-date high deviations at 6 furlongs, a mile, and a mile and 1/16 were all exceeded last week, which means very definitely it backs up. That's the highest, the deviation, the highest, the highest variant, and the highest percent early that won at each of those three distances, 6 furlongs, a mile and 1/16, which is undeniable proof to me that the track is getting faster as the meet goes on, and these specific, probably the three most race distances at the track. So it backs up with, I think, this man, Tom Hamilton, is that your name? What he said emphatically, and now here's the purpose. So what's the purpose? It's not just another study. It gives you undeniable confidence when you look at a field of horses. You have what you think are contenders. You have what you think are their best potential pace lines. Then you run the variant program on them with beaten lengths. And you come up with a percent early figure. You know, the little variant program produces a variant and then a percent early. Well, if the percent early is too high, is higher than the highest parameter, lower than the lowest parameter, then you know, A, the horse is not a contender. B, if he gets through the triple screen method that I use to get the contenders and run the pace lines on them, if he shows up in the rankings and you see that his energy is either too high or too low, you, regardless of how the program is ranking, you can scratch that horse with all the confidence in the world. And it gets you out, even that, because even though that horse ran a very strong race recently, 7 to 10 days ago, he comes back in just a shift in distance, like 6 furlongs versus six and a half last time. Where his speed last time, early speed was very pronounced, helped him at 6.5, may hurt him because it lays a little toward average at 6 furlongs. You can scratch a horse whose early speed surpasses the high end of the early energy.
Dynamite stuff would be laying on, I'm telling you, it's absolutely dynamite stuff, and he validated it.
In all honesty, I'm just finding my way along, and I don't think I appreciate the ramifications of it. I mean, it's just, you know, like a blind man to be translating.
You can do something without a little confidence, knowing that you've had a little trouble with confidence. That is not an unprimary ramification. That's a brilliant ramification.
Do you use every race, did you say? You use 2-year-olds and maidens and everything. You said you use all the races to get your average.
I didn't do that until this last week because I called Doc. At first, I used Tom Brohammer's logic that I read in his Brohammer manual that said for the sake of consistency, in the Brohammer model, use horses between claiming 16,000 and non-winners of 3. Well, for some reason, I thought there was a certain amount of logic in applying that to this study. I talked to Doc, and he says, no, you don't have to bind yourself to those parameters. Run everybody through. Okay, now what I have done this last week is when they're maiden and maiden claiming, I put it over in a little margin, and I'll break out the maidens. You know, if we need to go that far, I'll break out the maidens to see if they're, how far they deviate from the older horses.
This is absolutely a brilliant study. It tells you several things. How far they'll deviate from an average, which is a running long-term average, and how little they deviate from a two-day or three-day or what cyclic average, whatever the cycle is, they deviate. The biggest cycle delineation is 0.69 here. And that's at a distance where you'd expect a wider 6 furlong. When the cycle changes, it can get to be one point difference from the average. But the cyclic distribution I like it, not because it's brilliant only, but because it justifies everything I've been trying to say for years.
The only thing, a couple of comments, that the reason that Hollywood, I think, gets faster as the meet gets further into it is two reasons. First of all, the weather is warmer. It's a very sandy track. It also tends to be somewhat, I've noticed, a very deep track. You watch the horses come back to the winner's circle, and they're just covered with sand. So the horses had a lot of stuff kicking on it. And it sticks to their body, which means it's got to have some moisture. It's not because of just the perspiration on the horse. All right, now as that goes on, it does get faster as the meet gets older. Also, the horse's hooves will beat that thing down, make the thing harder.
Why else is so great?
And also because starting in July, the fog lifts a lot earlier in the day. If you go to the track early in the day and you notice the track is wet, I mean, it's wet every day. It doesn't have to be wet by the water wagon, it's just wet. You get on towards the sixth race in the later afternoon, that track is so fast and so dry and so wonderful, it's almost like a different track from the first race.
Except for Wednesdays. It looks like on Wednesday she does everything in her power to make it run late.
No, she just almost moves the ground up a little bit. Don't bet the first three races.
Yeah,
they cut the track on Monday, every Monday.
Well, yeah, that's a good observation. And of course, as we've all been said, it's nice to know the reason, but who gives a turn? You don't have to know.
No, that's right.
What distance do you have? Does anybody have trouble with a mile and eight?
Drop the blades and the harrows. No. Cut it.
Anybody have trouble with a mile and eight? You know what the most predictable distance of Hollywood Park is?
Mile and eight, folks.
Yeah. You didn't already know that. The deviation, the maximum from the average, is 0.55 up and 0.43 down. That's from the mean average. The deviation within the early late periphery is 0.35 and 0.06. Your practice can just do energy to Hollywood Park and Honolulu. You are running late now, but this is... James Quinton appreciates your remarkable study you did on his work, which we're going to put out with his permission. This is just a tease of how much we appreciate what you've done here.
Just a question, Doc. Should I throw out highs and lows in each case, or
what you've done here? Is
no, that's
exactly
what I've done.
What I want to know. I want to see the deviation. See what he's done here. He's taking when it's running early. He's showing the early 53 and 153.12. Then he's taking when we see the pattern change. He put the pattern below, which is good. He gets down to 51.08 and 51.19, and he's put the mean average in here. So when the track is running sustained at this distance, I see what the cluster group is, and when it's running early, I see what the cluster group is. Done it for every distance. And it shows you, really, if you watch how the track's running, and you might put the shortest, if you want to do this, go over your record, put the shortest period of time by days, you know, then you see a sudden shift. Three shifts a month and one or it's
how many copies of
it? Oh no, it's not complete. I don't want to give out man's work.
Howard?
Yes.
You remember you had a note on the board to remind you of something. Have you covered that standard?
Yeah. You don't have to stay if you want to go. You have to just because you gave us the blackboard. Okay, very quickly. Yeah, I did have a note. See what good that note did? You got everything? You got to get your bus?
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming. It was real nice seeing you.
Yeah.
And you came all the way out from San Francisco on a bus.
San Francisco?
Contender scans format, which is going to be on everything, including synergisms on punter scans, on... The one we have found the most satisfactory for everyone's use.
On page 31, this is a good example.
People say, what is it doing? What are those numbers up there? What this does, fairly, is if you put in, let's say you put in 10 horses. Contender scan allows you to put in more horses than you're supposed to. That's why it's called contender scan, because it sorts out the best five, no matter how you try to pass up the race. It will take the best first fraction of all the horses you put in there. It will sort for the best first fraction it sees.
Say it was 61.
Now, I don't care what this horse did here, or what this horse did here, but the horse who ran the best second fraction turn time, the best turn time, it's going to put that in up here. Irrespective of what that horse might have done It's going to take the best third fraction it finds among all the horses you put in, 10, 12, whatever it takes. And it's going to put that in. Now, it's going to give you the actual pace of the horses you put in underneath that. This is kind of what we were playing around with and doing with James's
dream race.
It's creating a dream race. Whereas with the twin material, we were creating a par race. This creates a dream race. Now, it shows you that one of those dogs you put in there may have been a dog in relation to the other, but he still ran a 53.10. It shows you that one of those horses you put in there, even though it was a bad selection, was a 58.40, a 61. You got to go? Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Sorry.
Oh, no, we're running over.
My wife's made a dinner date at 6:30.
We're running over anyway. So what you're saying is, against the greatest possible racer that was derived at from the actual fractions run by at least one of those horses, you get a dream race, and you match everybody up against a dream race. And if that can't make you separate contenders and see who's in it and who's not in it. And these are raw. You can adjust them. But you know you kind of destroy it when you adjust them. The raw is pretty sufficient to give you the contention. You don't need to have those finite adjustments when you do it. Now, distance changes, you need to make the adjustments, of course. Because a sprinter raw is going to probably have the best three fractions, and you're asking the rather to beat the sprinter.
Doc, on continuous gain, is that the fraction, the best first fraction, the best second fraction, the best third fraction? Each horse is last place, or is that going down to the best race in each horse's past performance?
When you enter.
Okay, so, all right. So then in other words, in order to create a dream race, I can handicap the race in a normal manner.
Oh, sure.
Well, what happens if I just want to throw out seven horses and put in the five that I think are the most logical to win to begin with?
That's what we do. But there are people who do not come to these classes who Bob Curry refers to as idiots. And they're not really idiots. They're very nice, lovely people. But they live in areas where there's malnutrition or something, and they want to put in all the red horses. So this was a classic. Now, tricky people like you and me, we figured out how to use it. We just put in five, and it's even better. You don't have to put in all the horses just because somebody in Nebraska does. You put in your contenders, now you really get a matchup.
The other ones, you'd have to throw them out anyway.
Sure, but this throws them out for you. You know how many people I know? I'm going to take you around with me somewhere over the places we hang out. Tell you, I got people who, I can only put in six horses in that program. There's 12 horses in the race. There are more of them than there are you. Good laugh. They got to have something like this. So that's what it does. And it creates a race, and that you immediately see, hey, this horse, my God, he's way behind here. He doesn't even approach anybody here. And the only time he ever makes a move is here. If I got to wait till the third fraction for this horse to make one move, that's too late. You bet him on him after the finish. But that's the contender scan format, and that's going to be on all future programs. And it's a dynamite format if you carefully use it right. So a lot of people I know, what they do is they look at this enemy, and they start looking at the horses, they don't match them against what could happen, what could possibly happen. That's the best thing that they could possibly have. If they can do well against this, they can do well against themselves. And it gives you something to shoot at, but it's not an arbitrary par, which is good too. I mean, you could do it the way we suggested to use par. The reason I gave that idea with the Quinn material is not to suggest that you use that with the Quinn material per se, but to use it to learn to understand what pars are. A lot of people, par is like golf, or it's 51, or it's 111. But they don't see that par is something that horses run up above and down below and around.
Doc?
Yes, sir.
What's the difference between contender scan and phase three? I don't get it.
Essentially none. Contender scan is an automatic meridian variant for you. It has a slightly different form, but the numbers you get are the same.
You have your par times built in internally.
It does meridian variant.
I'm already doing that on my own.
Well, the original contender scan. Well, you don't have this on your face. The original contender scan stopped here. You shorted out these horses. And it gave the best early relative to this early, and the best that's relative in the in some ratings over here. And it didn't go beyond that. It gave you five contenders. It sorted out the best five, and that's it. Quit. Now the new contender scan lets you have phase three with it or ultrascan with it. But it just really is a change of form. See, originally, the purpose was to put in all the horses in the race if you had to and sort out the top five. And it was doing it like 94.3% of the time. And you were, it wasn't the same 93.4% of the time that APV got you. And so it got you a lot of long shots that were not as obvious as Morning Line or APV top five. Any other questions?
Well, it's still available. It's still a valid thing, isn't it?
Right. It's going to be on everything. Henceforth, the contender scan format will be the frontispiece of every computer program we do, including energy and deceleration.
Can we buy it from you and then program it ourselves?
Can we modify, for instance, the little key, the Sharp 462 phase 3?
Sure.
To include it?
Jim Bradshaw. Why don't you just buy contender scan?
Jim Bradshaw's already done it. He's already made a... it's already in... It's already on the computer.
Contender scan is available for every computer we have.
But the one that's merged with UltraScan, Jimmy's making special. Those are UltraScan users who want it. One of the best of both worlds. He's now doing it for those computers, and it'll be available.
Is it going to be married to Synergism too, or not? Also?
It's going to hit Synergism.
Pardon?
Well, actually, all you've done, if you have the five contenders compared to the readout, you've added one line of the Dream Race page to the regular phase three readout, right?
But you get it all at once. The old phase three, until Dick changed it, you didn't get phase of the race, phase of the horse unless you called upon it, but he changed the format. But now, instead of getting phase of the race, phase of the horse, you get the whole field matched up against the Dream Race, which really, at our stage of development, is better. The initial stage is phase of the race, phase of the horse.
How do you tell which one? Like I got Contender Scan a month ago.
You got the new one.
You got the new one?
Yes, sir.
Contender Scan's always there.
Well, there's some IBM. Bob Purdy and the IBM.
Oh, wow.
Said, no, they don't need all that stuff. They just give them, that's enough to give. Purdy likes to see self-help. Sir, this is Thomas Hanlon, sir.
A lot of progress when I started looking at every horse in the race doing that. And I just, you really see how bad some of these horses are, how much they don't fit. By just putting a pace line through, it only takes you a few seconds to do every horse. And if you've got, I've just got phase three, I can hold nine. So I'll do nine and I'll take the top six and run them against the last three. I mean, just so you get a feel of the structuring of this race. But the times I've gotten beat, like I got beat at one race yesterday because I didn't evaluate the first quarter properly. And that was the summer dress race on the triple. And those things will really hurt you. So if you know that April 41st is going to run a 61.38 opening quarter and nobody in the race except one horse is run against and closed against that pace, you're better than 99.9% of the people at the racetrack. Right? Right. That was the whole race, right?
That's
there.
Right. You've got this format gives you an edge. This horse may be buried down here. You might find it down here. He might have a whole lot of other things over here to say he doesn't belong in this race.
Right.
But as Jimmy Bradshaw and all of us, but Jimmy most powerfully of any of us, will tell you, that dang horse down there, he's going to set the pace. He's going to choke this horse here. He ain't going to be around to the end, but now there's this one. So you better bet this one.
Right.
And that's what it tells you. That's, if Tom had known that, he would never have suggested that horse to begin with. But he didn't know this. All he had to do was see contender scan and see that. He said, uh-oh, not today. Don't watch it today. Or do watch it today. Just watch it. That is the format. It's a dynamite format, so we're putting in everything. And believe me, you say, well, I can see that. Sure you can. But if you saw all these things that we're trying to give you, you would be winning so much money, you wouldn't worry about methodologies.
Right.
It's the methodology is trying to point out the things that you've got to see before you become handicappers. And while you're waiting to become a handicapper, just use this. It's what to do before the doctor arrives.
I'm just curious. I was thinking now your next program will have to be a MACTA program.
So we got one. Jimmy's coming up with a MACTA program. But it's going to match him up. It's going to match him up for you. In other words, hey, he can describe the matchup and you can do the matchup. That's why we tell you don't buy it because it's there. If you need it, if that's what you need to understand, it's a great program. It's going to match him up, and it's going to have a format like that old pace chart of ours. And it's going to show you that so-and-so is ahead here, but he falls down here, and so-and-so takes over here. And it just tells you just who's going to be where better than the compy graph, because it's going to be on a deceleration situation. And this horse goes pooey here, and this one comes on, and it's going to give you a graphic illustration of the matchup. And listen, if you get the matchup, and you get it right, and you allow for the fact that there are daily variations, you've got to allow for distance adjustment, track adjustment. But when you get the matchup down, then you can go to Laughlin and leave your computer home, except for APG, and your class ratings you'll get from the print material. And you've got them classified, now you just look, and you don't really need a computer. But who teaches you all this stuff? The computer, because you believe in it, and you know that it'll tell you just what, give you a relationship to what you entered. Then, in some distant day, unless you love punching those buttons, you'd be able to go and do it without a computer. With just what you got from James Quinn and what we've been able to offer. Or I should put that in reverse. What we've been able to offer you, along with what you got from James Quinn. The last book was only $13.95. It's a bestseller. It's a bestseller. It's hard to get, but you've got the flyer to show you how to get it. I hope you'll all join me in saying how much we appreciate James Quinn for coming up here. And Schmidt already got a hand earlier. I don't know why, but he got a hand earlier. And we thank Tom for doing one on the 8th and 9th, I think it is, on special situation handicapping with tandem races, turf to turf, all those little things that are not covered in the ordinary sphere of handicapping. It's in your flyer that you got on this one. And then in September, we're doing a complete closing on the matchup with a manual. Jimmy's writing about 70 pages on it. I'll confuse it with another search. And the program will be available then.
What about
Synergism? Synergism will be announced this week. Those of you who already bought it will get it.
Thank you. It's good to see you again. What is your
name?
Paul, my name is
Jay. You have to ask a question.
Thank you for your comment.
It's stupid for us we're going to do a thing on Synergism when nobody has any questions. And it would be dumb for you to pay the money to come to it if it's not, doing some good.